Welcome to the 2013 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration, and I'm pleased to welcome you to our midday keynote, New Digital Technologies for Retailers, sponsored by YesMail Interactive. The digital revolution for retailers and e-tailers is here. As consumers become more technologically savvy, retailers and e-tailers are offering the latest and greatest in digital shopping experiences. To help make sense of it all, today we'll hear from John Provisor, owner and CIO of Guidance, a web and mobile e-commerce design and development agency, as he walks you through the latest and greatest digital trends today. Today you'll learn important digital trends that retailers must know about to succeed, upcoming disruptive digital technology trends, and how you can incorporate these trends into your business successfully. Before we get started, let me point out some technical points. First, if you have any technical issues, troubleshoot by clicking on the widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the question and answer box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select ones later on, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the features on the console. Check out the Tips for Attendees widget if you'd like to learn more about the console you're viewing on today. Finally, if you'd like to view the session again later, don't forget that we'll be archiving the entire show today, and we'll have the entire on-demand environment up and running for 3 months beginning July 22nd. That's Monday. So watch your email for more details. So without further ado, please let me welcome our wonderful speaker, John Provisor.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, East Coast, and good morning, West Coast. I'm excited about the opportunity and the privilege to speak as part of Retail Online Integration's Retail Marketing Virtual Conference Expo. I am John Provisor, CIO and co-owner of Guidance Solutions. We're going to spend the next hour looking into new digital technologies for retailers. We're going to explore industry trends and the resulting e-commerce technology trends for retailers. I have two goals, basically, for this panel. Number one, to educate, inspire our audience on e-commerce trends and upcoming technologies, and number two, certainly not to suck. A little bit about Guidance. At Guidance, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. We focus on enterprise e-commerce, web development, mobile application development, hosting, managed services for our clients. Our clients are some examples, Foot Locker, Burlington Coat Factory, Murad Cosmetics, Relax the Back, Tom's Shoes, Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, and many more top nationwide retailers. I'm going to start off with a poll question to get kind of a feel of the audience, if you would accommodate me. So really, how many attendees are primary e-tailers? How many are primary retailers, meaning you just have a mortar store, a brick and mortar? And how many would be considered both? So you're selling online and in the retail space. So we're going to give you about 30 seconds to fill out the survey, and that will really give us some direction throughout the seminar. All right, so the feedback is coming in. And just the initial responses, so e-tailer about 40% pure, retailer about 13%, and a combination of both leading the pack at 46%. So that's a pretty balanced mix. Obviously, pure retailers are a little bit smaller in the overall view. All right, so here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a little bit of the industry trends from an economic and macroeconomic perspective, and we're going to drill down into the trends around devices and uses of devices, particularly tablets and mobile. We'll look at the rise of mobile commerce, and then we're going to talk about several disruptive technologies that we're seeing in the market space, and we actually have the pleasure of implementing. And then we have a little bit of time left for the Q&A session. All right, so industry trends. So here we're going to look at macro trends in the retail economy and how these trends are really affecting online commerce. So our first slide here, as colorful as it is, has a pretty simple and straightforward message. E-commerce spending continues to grow. When you really look at the Q1 for 2013, we're up 11% versus Q1 of 2012. And you can see over this 10-11-year history here, there is just incredible steady growth around the 20%, a little bit of a dip in 2009, but on the whole, a very steady growth in the industry. So solid steady growth over the last decade. I really would challenge anyone to find this kind of growth in any other sector of the American economy in the last decade. I mean, we haven't seen, you know, many sectors of the economy growing with this steadiness. E-commerce, in particular, grew 13%, while discretionary spending only grew 1%. So if we define discretionary spending as that portion of expenditures a person uses for non-essential goods and services, I would call it, you know, your fun spending money. This is used for vacations, toys, hobbies, et cetera. So even though that's only grown, that discretionary money has only grown 1%, we see e-commerce growing 13%. So consumers are using e-commerce as a conduit to purchase their items. And this is a fantastic trend showing that the e-commerce sector basically is red hot. Okay, so nearly 11% of all discretionary dollars were spent online in Q1, and that's the highest share ever observed to date in the history of the Internet, right? So, you know, this is the time and the place to be selling online. It's never been such a rich field to tap into. The trend you can see in this graph has been up and right for the last decade, right? So, in essence, the Internet started in 2004, 2005, and this steady growth has occurred for the last decade. We're reaching an all-time peak right now where discretionary money is going into spending online. All right, now we're going to kind of zoom in a little bit from those macroeconomic perspectives. And let's take a look at devices on the whole and how they're being used in the realm of e-commerce. So here we have an interesting graph that shows mobile ownership, and right now we're hitting about 137 million, and tablet ownership. You can see that just started in 2010, largely with the iPad solution, and that's up to 60 million. So incredibly rapid growth within the last 3 years just for the tablet, and we see that continuing steadily. What's interesting here, it's not quite shown on this graph, but mobile and tablet usage will be eclipsing PC and desktop usages likely by the end of this year. All right, so what are people doing with those devices, these tablets? If we look at all online usage, desktop, smartphone, tablets, the multi-platform usage has been doubling of media consumption over the last 3 years. So if we compare February 2010, people spent about 451 minutes on devices, desktop and mobile, and now we're spending about 900 minutes, and if you translate that, it's about 15 hours every month on tablets, smartphone, and desktop. So the message is clear. People are spending so much time on these devices, they're giving up their television, they're giving up the newspaper. Unfortunately, they're giving up books and printed artifacts, and they're pretty much devoting a great deal of time, double from what it was just 3 years ago, on these devices. So let's look at how that translates into mobile commerce. The message here is about reaching people wherever and whenever they're interested in shopping and eliminating all the barriers and obstacles to a purchase. So about half the digital time spent on retail websites now occurs on smartphones and tablets. which is just a phenomenal statistic that didn't exist just a couple years ago. So the desktop is still 52%, but certainly by the end of the year, looking like the mobile devices are going to eclipse the desktop. All right, so how does this translate into dollars for users? If we look at the top 50 e-commerce retailers nationwide, Amazon, eBay, Walmart, Apple, et cetera, what we're seeing here in this colorful graph, this is the light blue is the PC only. The purple and the red represent mobile solutions. So we're seeing about a 45% increase in mobile, tablet, smartphone channels. This is a measurement of unique visitors. So if you're just looking at, you know, visitors coming to your site, and the site can be on any one of the devices, PC, desktop, mobile, tablet, we're seeing about 45% now are coming into the mobile and tablet versions. So how does this translate to business? All right, so in Q1, 2013, discretionary spending, mobile commerce growth outpaced e-commerce and far outpaced consumer spending. So what we're seeing here is we're looking at a 31% increase in mobile conversions as compared to 1 year ago. And that kind of growth is simply astounding, looking at the history of the web. So people not only are using mobile devices, they're not only visiting via mobile devices, now they're purchasing on mobile devices. The message, you know, is crystal clear: to survive and to succeed and thrive, you have to render your experience of your store, your retail brand, into the relevant device. You have to reduce the barriers in any platform, mobile, tablet, and make it easy to buy through those devices.
I just want to jump in for a quick second. We did have a question coming in about the numbers that John was showing. She wanted to know whether or not this was U.S. only data. Is it? Do you know, John? Or
yeah, that's a great question, and it is U.S. only data. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem. All right. So taking those trends. We've seen steady growth in online transactions. We've seen clear statistical evidence of mobile display habits and mobile purchasing power. And in this section, we're really going to discuss what the trends are and what you can do to exploit what's happening with these macro trends. Specifically, we're going to talk about four elements, one that we think is really powerful, and that's email marketing, and particularly responsive email marketing, making that email work in any device that receives that email. Another disruptive trend is called me-tailing, the customization of a product or solution via the web to cater to individual needs. Shoppable windows, so being retailers, allowing the user to consume and experience your brand in a whole different way and actually shopping in front of your store on a window. And then what we call guide shops, so the shops that really show portions of your product and allow people to experience it, and then they can order it or go home and order it. All right, so responsive email. The secret to online marketing is email. You can spend tons of money with Google and many other, Bing, and MSN, and the bottom line is the greatest ROI you're going to have in terms of the expense you're going to put out is email. So if you can build an email list of 10, you know, 20, 30, up to a million users large, you're going to have a very powerful e-commerce solution. Email is the least expensive and most impactful form of online marketing for e-commerce. So the idea here is, we want you to use your email and render it on a device as appropriately as possible, right, to maximize that experience. So responsive email design technologies coming out. It's a recent evolution, and it allows you to send email campaigns, call to actions, and display them on any device, regardless of its size or nature. Responsive, in essence, is a fairly new technology, about a year or two old, and it allows the web page to be enabled and displayed appropriately on any device. So be it a desktop, a tablet, a mobile phone, it reformats on the fly, creating the best reading experience and call to action for that device. Many companies are using responsive emails today. AT&T, Crocs, Hilton, Starwood, Tom's Shoes. You can certainly go up and take a look and sign up for those and kind of receive their emails and see how they're rendered. People who use our smartphones for reading emails are about 79%. So basically what we're seeing is people are waking up in the morning, you're checking email. Sometimes you're clicking on those great new discounts coming in from a retailer, and consider if you really want to purchase that product and the phone is not optimized to allow for the purchase of that product, right? You're going to have to get out of your bed, walk down to your desktop computer, and process the purchase, through that medium. That's an inconvenience and that's an obstacle. So the idea here is render the email appropriately in the smartphone, and then continue that experience with the website in a responsive nature all the way through so the purchase is simple and elegant. Again, try to eliminate those obstacles and allow users to render the best on no matter what device they're using. 71% of mobile purchasing decisions are influenced by retail email. Again, just kind of reconfirming statistically, if you don't learn one thing from the session, take away that email is one of the best kept secrets in e-commerce retail marketing, right? Okay, let's look at me-tailing. So here's the idea of a customized experience. You know, you've probably seen the Nike store, maybe you've been to Levi or Jockey or Converse, but there are many other stores that are not mega enterprises, fortune companies, and they're creating a refined, customized experience to design pretty much whatever you're looking for in terms of clothing, apparel, customized products, 3D printed products for whatever needs you have. So this is a really hot trend today. So you're looking at the mass customization of e-tail markets, made-to-order bras, shoes, shirts, jeans, personalized products that are designed for your size, your shape, and the fashion that you're really interested in, the color. We had the pleasure of working with a company, J. Hilburn. They have a very detailed online configurator, so you can put together a shirt, a pant, a jacket, and pick the collar and the embroidery and the stitching, and customize that like no other store can offer, right? And then, you know, 2-3 weeks later, it's shipped from their vendors to your door. So consider the ability to customize these solutions. This is a very powerful trend that allows the user really to pick and choose what they want when they want. Okay, so we mentioned shoppable windows a little bit in our disruptive technologies. eBay and Kate Spade came together. They created an extension of their store inventory and pretty much extended it to the face of their window. So you can see that this is actual display right there in the image. It's called Kate Spade Saturday. It occurred for about a month in New York and had a good deal of success. So what the experience here is, it allows the consumers to get all their shopping done pretty much while standing in front of the store window. So the store doesn't have to be open, or it might be crowded, or, you know, maybe people just don't want to deal with clerks and standing around in the store. So it's designed to help retailers generate more sales from their existing physical store. You can have products out on this window that actually are beyond the inventory count in the store. This window was the display. The technical display was about 9 feet high, 2 feet wide. You could see it in this lower right corner. And it appeared where you could actually touch the glass and process your order. Shoppers used the touchscreen to view and order products, and they were delivered via courier within about an hour of ordering. So what happens here is you pretty much browse and shop as you would on an online experience, and you put in your telephone phone number. So you didn't have to put in any kind of credit card information in the middle of the street where people could see it. Then an order was texted to you. You'd click on that order. You'd tell them where you want to meet them for the pickup, so you could, you know, let's say you're having lunch, they could actually come and deliver it. It was within an hour delivery, or you could have it come to your home. When the order arrived, you would simply pay COD upon arrival, so you don't have to put in the credit card information here. In essence, it was a COD purchase. In this case, eBay sponsored it with a PayPal payment system that made it quite easy for the user to process the order upon arrival. Okay, this is the kind of final disruptive slide I'm going to show here, and what we're looking at is guide shops, what we're calling. So a guide shop is a brick-and-mortar presence for e-tailers where customers can try products on for size, they can put outfits together, they get advice from salespeople. So it's a full retail experience, except the store may well not have those products in stock, right? So why is this kind of trend occurring? So guide shops exploit a trend where, you know, 50% of all shoppers do what we call showrooms. They come in, they browse around, and, you know, I've seen it happen in a Best Buy where they pull out their smartphone and they take their Amazon app and they scan the UPC barcode and they compare prices, and they may well just order it right there on Amazon, even though they're leveraging Best Buy to experience the physical device on the store. So about a third of shoppers buy from online-only retailers. So an ad agency called DDB Worldwide did a survey in 2013, and they gauged the U.S. web users' attitudes towards e-commerce, and they found that millennial males and females, which are basically folks around 18 to the 34 age group, were more likely than their 35 to 64-year-old counterparts to engage in nearly every online shopping activity. And about 40% of the men in that millennial group, 33% of the women, reported that ideally they would buy everything they could online, right? So what we're seeing here is the millennials really are, they've grown up with e-commerce. They've been trained, they're accustomed, it's not a foreign solution, it's how they purchase, right? And they actually prefer to purchase online. So what the guide shop could allow a retailer to do is open many smaller footprint retail solutions and allow you to have a full kind of retail experience where you can talk to a customer sales representative and experience the solution. And ultimately, you end up buying online and the order gets shipped to you at your home. So the internet, in essence, is the back room, is the warehouse, is the inventory, and nothing is ever out of stock. You're just showing samples at these guide shops. A couple great examples, there's the fashion site Piperline. Many might have heard of Warby Parker, who has a number of these stores in New York, the jewelry site Babel Bar, men's apparel startups Bonobos, and that's the image we're showing here. So the trend of the lighter footprint store, the blended experience of you know, touching the item, talking to the clerk, and then ultimately ordering online is really coming to fruition. All right, we're going to jump into my Q&A session now and see if there's any questions from the team.
Great. Hi. Thanks a lot, John. That was excellent. I really appreciate your overview of what's going on right now currently, and also some of the digital disruption or digital disruptive technologies that are going to be coming down the road. We do have a couple of questions, but I want to be sure to tell folks that please send in your questions. We are definitely open to questions. We have some time now, and John's ready to answer them. So let's see. The first question is kind of an interesting question, and it's more about the high-end brick-and-mortar retailer as opposed to the online retailer. I don't know if you've seen this in your experience, John, but I guess some high-end brick-and-mortars don't necessarily have a desire to go the e-commerce route, but they may want to use digital technology to increase sales. So do you see any solutions for that kind of a retailer?
Yeah, I mean, many brands out there, the very high-end exclusive brands, don't want to sell directly online. They feel it disrupts their brand or degrades their brand in some way. And many very exclusive brands really want to empower their distributors to sell, right, and they don't want to compete with them. But more and more we're seeing a change in that attitude, and there aren't very many left that are pure retailers, right, that completely exclude the online sales of product. I'll give you an example, though. We're working with a luxury brand and shopping experience for bridal registry. They're a high-end gift shop in Beverly Hills called Gary's of Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. right? They often compare themselves to Tiffany's. They're the most exclusive. They consider themselves the most exclusive luxury brand and gift shop available. And they represent a whole range of high-end watches, and Rolex and Patek Philippe are a couple of them. Now, these brands, Rolex, for example, does not allow the online sale of a watch, period, in the world, for their brand. And they only allow retailers and exclusive retailers the right to sell their salutes, their watches. So that they're not going to change that. That's the way they are. They're a Swiss-owned company, and they want to maintain their brand and never sell online. You can buy used Rolexes online, but you can't buy new Rolexes online. So, that's a good example. Now, what they may be missing out, I do understand that brand focus and, appreciate it. Recently for Foot Locker, we did an integration of the online purchase and allowed the users to pick up in store. So what happens here is the user goes online, they spend, $80, $120 for a pair of shoes, and they schedule a pickup in store, and they go to the store, and they end up spending another $80 or $100 while they're in the store. So we're often seeing that buy online, pick up in store results in a 1+1=3 solution. You're getting mm-hmm. the best of the online, shop at home, the comfort of your home, go to the store, make sure the shoe fits right, that type of experience. And then once you're in the store and you're exposed to the, wonderful product selection and the sales clerk and the stands that highlight, a sale or two or a discount, we see the user walking out spending, double the revenue that they initially spent online. So I don't see often there's a trend. They're saying that, retail is dead. It's going to go away. Everything's going to go online. Certainly not. We're not believers in that. We believe that 1+1=3, and you can leverage the omni-channel, the channel online, the channel in the store, to benefit even more than any single channel does.
Mm-hmm. We just have a quick follow-up on that when you were discussing Gary's. How can Gary's use digital to leverage Rolex, for example, if you can't sell online?
Gary's they need approval, very explicit approval for advertising and promotions and things like that. Actually, there's never a promotion for a Rolex watch.
Right.
There's actually pricing police that go around to different stores and try to negotiate the price, and if the vendor offers a reduction in the retail price, they're going to remove that ability for that vendor to sell that watch going forward, or the Rolex brand. So,
but they can really, post banner ads or emails?
Yeah, you can post very elegant billboards, right. Banner ads, emails. You can do campaigns around it, bring people in the store to purchase it. The watch will never be discounted, but you can certainly advertise to it.
Right, great. Let's see. We have a question about mobile, and I know that that's one of your key areas at Guidance. The listener wants to know the best way to test the mobile compatibility of his site. Sounds like he's, doesn't really want to go out trying to every single mobile device out there and testing it on his own. So is there some kind of service or best way to go about that?
Testing mobile solutions?
Yeah, like the mobile compatibility of his website on different solutions, like Android versus.
There are wonderful tools that can cross-browser test your device on mobile platforms, and so you have the matrix of different browsers. Safari on an iPhone, there's Chrome on an iPhone, and different devices. So anything from Android to BlackBerry. There are hosted what we call SaaS testing solutions and environments where you can, in essence, render your website and see how it looks on all those devices. Hmm. And they're fairly intelligent solutions that allow you to they highlight issues and bring them to the foreground because there are literally hundreds, thousands of permutations of devices that really you have to certify in order to present a unified, elegant experience online. So I can give that user a list of those kind of SaaS testing solutions if they're interested.
Okay.
After
sure.
Break. Yeah.
Yep. We'll definitely send send the questions to you. Let's see. Again, please send in your questions. John has a lot of experience with a variety of different kinds of retailers, different verticals within retail, so he's open to anything. But while we're waiting for some more questions, I had a question, actually. You didn't touch on it in your presentation, but it is a hot topic, I think, and that is the concept of showrooming. Do you feel that showrooming is a threat to the brick-and-mortar retailer, or I've been hearing about how it can be considered like a value add or something positive for the retailer. Do you have any feedback on that?
I do think that it hurt companies like Best Buy. Now, Best Buy has initiated a practice that if you do find a price online from a reputable vendor, they'll match it, right? So I think they've turned that practice around to their advantage, right? And the savvy users who go in there and understand that can walk up to the counter with their smartphone, show them a price, and they'll do price matching. So I think Best Buy, in that case, they might not have the profit on the sale that they wanted, but they certainly retained a customer, and that customer's in the store, and they're getting that brand and experience that Best Buy offers. So I do think there are ways to spin it to your advantage if you're a retailer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Going back, another question that I have is regarding, you talked a lot about tablets earlier and mobile, the sort of the different tablets versus mobile. Do you, when you're putting together a program for one of your customers, do you lump tablets in with mobile, or do you think of them as two different sort of mediums?
Absolutely, they're different mediums. Obviously, the screen size and resolution on tablets is far larger than mobile devices, but technically, we treat them the same. So, from a design and user experience perspective, we treat them as different mediums, and our creative team will come in and render. We typically do four different designs for a website. The first design is a desktop design in the standard screen resolution. The second design would be a tablet in a landscape mode. The third design would be a tablet in a portrait mode. And then the final design would be a mobile device. So our technology now allows us to create a template, and it actually detects the screen resolution and of the device that it will render on, and it will automatically resize our website in the responsive manner and render on those devices appropriately. So what the burden is really on is our graphic designers who have to, in essence, do four different renditions of the site. And each one of those renditions is not the same site with different pieces moving around. The font size changes, the image size changes, the products cascade into kind of parent and child levels. So there's a lot of thought that goes around beautiful responsive design. Now I will caution users that you can create a solution where you simply design independently each of those devices, mobile, tablet, and a .com, and each experience can look quite different, where responsive really maintains the elegance and the brand across all three. So now in the long run, responsive also has some overhead in terms of, let's say you want to incorporate a WordPress blog into your website. Well, that WordPress is not necessarily responsive, and the WordPress template may not be designed in a responsive way, so you kind of have to reverse engineer that into a responsive solution. So it might have a little bit more overhead in terms of long-run maintenance, maintaining a responsive design versus hard-coding separate designs. But we treat the user experience as a very unique experience for every single device, but the technology, we create templates that work within our e-commerce solutions that accommodate the different devices.
Great. Excellent. That's very clear. Okay, we have a question about QR codes, which is a really good question. I feel like we haven't covered that too much at this event. What do you think the role of the QR code is in the digital mobile marketplace? It seems like it may have been a great concept when it was first instituted, but the listener doesn't see it being used that often, and I tend to agree. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, there was a hot trend, I don't know, three, four years ago for QR codes, and a QR code does have the ability to transmit a large amount of data, more than a barcode, for example. And obviously drive you to a website or a landing page. But, we haven't really seen that as part of the mainstream solutions today. You know, in a store, a barcode itself can generate, product details and pricing as needed. And, the QR code, I tend to agree. It hasn't really... It's not the definitive answer and the single most easy way to render your website. Typing in, BestBuy.com or FootLocker.com is probably just as easy.
Right, exactly. Another question that I have actually was, which we didn't touch on, was like the concept of augmented reality around mobile or maybe even around a regular website, where I've heard examples of companies that allow you to sort of size a wedding ring online or try on a pair of sunglasses. Do you see that as a growing area, or is it a fad? And do you have any examples of good ones, good AR applications?
Yeah, I mean, a good deal of the eyewear sites that we've developed and the ones out there have this type of technology. You can visit Toms.com and look at their eyewear selection to take a look. Another site, Web Vision, a chain of retailers, has the ability to try on a pair of glasses and see how it looks on your own face. I think it's relevant. I think it's relevant. Not in a bleeding edge way, but allowing the user to experience it if they're interested. I think for certain products, wedding rings would be a great one. So, you can order a product that is actually sized right from the beginning, so you don't have to go back to the store and resize it. Clearly, glasses. Those are great advantages. Now the me-tailing talk that we had about really customized design. I talked about Jay Hilburn very briefly, but they don't actually allow you to order the product. You design the product, you save it in your closet, and then a representative comes, kind of a shopping consultant, will actually come to your office, measure your body, confirm your dimensions, and then place the order. So that's kind of the whole next level of service that you can see, where people are coming right to you and designing the products to your needs and advising you right in your own office or home and helping you place that order. So it's perfect and exact, and you don't have to reorder it. The returns on J. Hilburn are minimal compared to standard, 20% returns on a typical fashion site.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to thank Yes Mail Interactive for being the sponsor of this really enlightening session. And I also want to thank you for listening. And also I'd like to thank John Provisor from Guidance for his great guidance. And if you're interested in discussing anything, as I mentioned earlier, that you anything you'd like to discuss, you can go to the networking lounge. And also you can visit the info booth on the console and fill out our show survey to let us know about your experience today, which would be really helpful if you could do that. And also, if you missed anything today, remember that the entire virtual show will be archived and the on-demand environment will be available for 3 months starting Monday, July 22nd. So with that, have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.